This is Politics with Amy Walter from The Takeaway. As is so often in politics, money is central to voter turnout. And this year, Democrats are fired up.
This money is coming from small dollar donors who are really, really angry about this president and are energized to participate in the midterms.
That's Elena Schneider, campaign reporter for Politico. Elena has been following the money this election season, where it's come from, who's giving it. We begin with the Democrats.
It's not always from within a candidate's district or even within the state. I think that there's been a recognition amongst Democratic activists and people who care about Democratic causes and are angry at the president that even if they don't live in a district that is particularly competitive, that they can easily give to all kinds of candidates across the country who are. So that's primarily where a lot of this money is coming from. Obviously, they're still mega donors, but that's a good chunk of the candidate fundraising is from them.
How unusual is it that you have this many challenger candidates outraising their incumbent opponent?
There's no historical precedent for this. We have never seen this before. You're exactly right. Normally, incumbents have an edge. They have a built-in fundraising network. They're sitting on committees where PACs or companies or people who want to be familiar with said congressmen are often giving to them. And it's not as if Republicans are not raising money. They are raising money. In fact, some battleground incumbents raised even record highs. But it's just simply that the surge of money on the Democratic side is so big, is so pervasive, it's so broad and so deep that that's what these Republican incumbents are up against.
Do you have any idea how much money is being spent and how it's actually being used to try and turn out voters?
A lot of that is going towards ground game. The DCCC is investing $30 million in focusing on getting out low propensity voters, Latino voters, young voters. That's a huge chunk of money that they're focusing on sort of digital, on staffers on the ground. And in the same way, campaigns will acknowledge, look, you know, normally when you're doing budgeting for a campaign, you have to make cuts. You can't do everything because it's just so expensive. This time around for Democratic campaigns, they've been able to get it all. They've been able to spend huge amounts on television. They've been able to run a robust digital campaign. And they've also been able to bring in a lot of staffers to focus on a ground game. So I think they've sort of taken an all-above strategy because they're able to this time around. They have the money to do it.
Are they showing you any proof that this on-the-ground strategy is actually resulting either in more voters that are engaged that wouldn't have been in 2016?
Well, I think that's a very district-by-district specific question. I think that some are also more comfortable in sort of sharing and giving us a look into what's going on than others. I think there's also sort of this fear about sort of showing too much of the playbook, particularly in sort of the final stretch here. But yeah, I think that there is absolutely a focus and sort of being able to cheer on what they've been able to do in terms of increasing turnout. Democrats will point to the Virginia off-year elections back in 2017 when we just saw huge surges across the board in terms of turnout. And in individual districts, take California's 39th district, Gilses Narrows. He was able to eke out a victory there in a very competitive Democratic primary with tons of money getting spent, and in part because he was able to double Latino turnout over their 2014 primary turnout results. But that takes a lot of money and a lot of resources. And we're not expecting to see 2016-level turnout this year. It's still a midterm year. It's still a year that people who, you know, don't pay attention to politics are probably not going to vote. And it's not as sort of pervasive as, you know, people who are sort of glued to cable news. Those are the people who are already going to vote and are definitely going to be there. But it's still a lot of work for these campaigns to get people who are not watching cable news and who are just trying to get through their day. Those are the people that they need to get. And we're still not seeing that we're going to suddenly see presidential level turnout this year.
During a midterm election, it's always harder to generate enthusiasm for the president's party. That's not to say Republicans aren't raising a lot of money. They're just not raising as much as Democrats. And according to Elena Schneider, there's an over-reliance on outside groups who normally spend money running ads. But this year, at least one of those groups is focused on a strong ground game.
Congressional Leadership Fund is sort of the flagship Republican outside group, and they're the ones who pledged to spend $150 million this year. They've made it a huge effort to actually start opening field offices. And they've got field offices in, I think, more than 24 districts across the country. And this is not a traditional role for outside groups or super PACs, because super PACs cannot communicate with the candidate. They are legally prevented from doing that. And so there's usually they sort of exist in just sort of, as you say, flooding the airwaves with negative attack ads on Democrats. That's sort of their traditional role. But CLF decided this year that they were going to make a huge push for field organizing.
One thing that a lot of folks were surprised by in 2016 was that there were a whole bunch of voters on the Republican side that seemed to kind of come out of nowhere. Are we hearing about a similar dynamic taking place this year, or is this just a different election and a different kind of dynamic that we're going to see?
Well, I think President Trump is certainly demonstrating that he hopes that he's able to do the same thing. He's spending time in the final weeks of the campaign. He had a rally in Montana and Arizona and Nevada. Those are all places where he feels like he's going to be able to rally that base, rally those rural voters who came out in huge numbers for him. And he's trying to make that connection for voters and saying, look, even though I'm not on the ballot, pretend like I'm on the ballot. That's an effort to really try and get out those Trump voters who might stay home in a midterm year in the same way that we saw Obama voters stay home in midterm years in 2010 and 2014. The president's trying to head that off.
I remember President Obama saying similar things to his supporters, right? You got to come out, you got to vote for me because even though I'm not on the ballot, my policies are really, it's very, very important. But it was also true that the campaigns themselves were targeting those Obama voters who tend to sit out midterm elections. Are you hearing that Republicans are doing the same thing with those Trump voters this year, which is Trump is rallying them at his rallies, but they're spending money making sure that they're targeting those voters who turned out for Trump but may not normally turn out in midterm elections?
Yeah, they are absolutely trying and focusing on those chunks of voters who are Trump-based voters to make sure that they show up again in 2018. That's certainly a focus that I hear. I even was spending some time just earlier this week down in Minnesota with Jim Hagedorn's campaign. And he certainly has made the pitch to those voters. This is a rural Minnesota district that he's trying to flip, sort of an ancestrally Democratic, but has really trended towards Trump in the last 2 years. He's trying to make that pitch to candidates, basically saying, this is a miniature national election. And I think that his campaign, without a doubt, is trying to make that connection to those voters and spending money to do so. Again, I hate to keep sort of putting it off on November 6th, but we're not going to see whether or not those efforts have paid off, whether or not they have success with that, or if we see, again, sort of a drop-off like we did in 10 and 14 in the Trump coalition, whether or not they're going to decide to stay home.
Has there ever been a connection made between how much money candidates spend and how many voters actually turn out?
Well, I think we're going to get an enormous set of data come November 6th. You know, I've done reporting on a couple years ago, taking a look at self-funders. So those are the kinds of candidates who have sort of a unlimited bank account where they can spend on their own race. And that didn't always translate into success. And I think that, you know, when we looked at self-funders, those were often people who didn't necessarily have sort of a built-up base of voters. They hadn't ever held elected office before. And look, we're looking at that again. We've got 2/3 of these candidates have never run for office before. So whether or not that actually, the enormous amount of spending actually translates into voters, I don't think it's any guarantee. And I think Beto O'Rourke down in Texas, who's trying to take out Ted Cruz, might be the latest example of that. Because even though he's got more money than he could probably even spend in these final weeks, he's still running up against a math problem that isn't his budget, but is just simply who lives in Texas. And there are a lot of Republicans who live in Texas.
Elena Schneider, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Elena Schneider is campaigns reporter for Politico.